Well, not only did John Gabriel lose more than 220 pounds without dieting and surgery, but his body shows almost no signs of ever having been obese. How did he do this? Up next, the Gabriel Method on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. John Gabriel, Bachelor of Science in Economics from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania in 1990. He started gaining weight for no apparent reason. He tried every diet program that he could try to lose weight, but in the end, he just kept gaining and gaining and gaining. The situation became critical in mid-2001 when he became morbidly obese. He reached a weight of more than 400 pounds, and he decided to just start living the life of his dreams. He also decided to apply all of his research skills and scientific background toward understanding and eliminating these reasons that he was so heavy. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you? How are you?
It's been almost 2 years, my gosh.
I know.
And how you doing? Still in shape, I bet. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I am. I'm still the exact same weight. I'm not dieting. And the Gabriel Method's really taken off at this point. It's now being the book, after I was on Coast to Coast the first time, shot to number 11 overall on Amazon and became an international bestseller. It's now being translated into 15 languages.
Good for
and
you.
I'm getting calls. I got a call today from a guy in Uruguay. I'm getting calls all over the world at this point from people that are now losing weight without dieting and for the first time able to keep it off. And for me now, it's been almost 7 years that I lost the weight. I lost the weight 7 years ago. I lost over 200 pounds without dieting, and there's never been a time since then that I've had to diet, and I've pretty much been the same weight since then.
Good for you. And you know how many years you must have saved by doing this?
Well, I feel about 20 years younger than I did when I was 8 years ago when I was morbidly obese. I can tell you that. I mean, I feel like I'm in my 20s, so it's been a huge, huge difference for me. And a lot of it has been living the life of my dreams, but more than anything, it's been understanding, and this is what I talk about in my book, The Gabriel Method, why your body wants to be fat and how to eliminate those reasons. Our body has what I call a fat switch. And this is part of our genetic heritage, our genetic programming. This fat switch is designed to protect you against famines, and it gets activated by stress that's similar to a famine. And now we don't have famines today, but we all have stress, and a lot of us have the stress that causes the exact same chemistry as a famine. And when that takes place, your body actually gets tricked into activating this fat switch. And I lived through this. And if you've ever lived through having your fat switch activated, your body gets turned into a fat storage machine. You know, a lot of people think that it's just about calories in, calories out, and fat people are just weak and lazy and they should eat less. I was very disciplined. When I was living in New York, I was trying to lose weight. I worked face-to-face with Dr. Atkins. I was at the Pritikin Institute. I had fitness trainers. I had herbalists, naturopaths. I had acupuncturists put seeds in my ear. I did everything to try to lose weight, and I just kept gaining and gaining and gaining. And that's because the stress in my life was activating this fat switch. It wasn't until I was able to target which specific stress was activating it. And for a lot of us, it's either physical, mental, or emotional, or a combination of those things. It's not until I was able to actually target that stress and eliminate it that I was able to lose weight. Once I did, I lost weight automatically over a two-year period, very gradually and very consistently. I lost over 200 pounds, and then the issue went away.
John, did you find that when you were eating, you weren't even eating a lot? The weight just kept coming on?
Sometimes. Well, this is what would happen. I went through this. It was just like a pattern. What would happen is I'd be on a diet. And, you know, I'd follow the diet to the letter, and there'd be a whole list of things you couldn't have, where there's no wheat, no sugar,
right,
no salt, whatever it is.
And you'd lose some weight on those,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. I'd lose 10 pounds, 15 pounds, and then all of a sudden, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like so many of us. I know, I talk to thousands and thousands of people, have the exact same thing. You have this big binge. And the next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, there's cardboard pizza boxes all over the floor and cupcake wrappers, and your hands have orange from cheese doodles, and you have this big binge, and then that 10 pounds comes back in 2 days.
Yeah, that's true.
And then what would happen is a week later, I'd be 10 pounds heavier than when I even started the diet.
Oh, my.
And in this way, I ended up gaining over an 11-year period from 1990 to 2001. I gained over 200 pounds by it. Lose 10 pounds, gain 15. Lose 10 pounds, gain 15. Yo-yo, my way up to the point where I was morbidly obese.
Was your family, were they heavy too?
They were. And And they were really trying to do everything to get me to lose weight. It was my father, as a matter of fact, that took me to Pritikin and Institute, and I spent two weeks there with him. You know, they wanted me to do stomach stapling. I was never going to do that. I've never had surgery in my life. I didn't want to invade my body. I wasn't going to do that. I decided, once I figured out that dieting doesn't work, I decided I was never going to diet again, and instead I was going to try to figure out why my body wanted to be fat in the first place. And I had, as you said, I went to the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, but I was also pre-med, and I studied biochemistry, and I had a very solid biochemistry background. So it gave me enough of a foundation to go on the internet, and I spent hours a day studying biochemistry. This is really where I discovered two things. One is that we have this fat switch, and two is that the reason that diets don't work is because they activate the fat switch. In other words, you can force yourself to lose weight in the short term, but it actually gets your body to want to be fatter because it activates this primal fat switch that's designed to protect us against famines. And what is a diet if it's not a famine? It's like an artificially induced famine, so you're activating this fat switch. So you're losing weight but getting your body to want to be fatter. And when your body wants to be fatter, and again, I've lived through this and there's so many people out there that are living through this, your body forces you to eat. And your metabolism slows down and your body becomes very efficient at storing fat. It's all there. The science is all there and it's all documented.
Well, you got me motivated to start working out and losing weight and everything else. I probably, when I started, wasn't really that heavy. I was, on the back of your book, there are four pictures of you.
Yeah.
Boy, the one on the left, whoa.
Yeah.
But I was like your third picture.
Okay. In that picture, I was probably about 240.
Which wasn't too bad. But for my height, I was around 190, 195. You know, I dropped 22 pounds, and I'm staying at it, too. And, you know, not really with a particular diet. I mean, I watch what I eat. I mean, I'm not stupid about that.
I talk about adding certain nutrients. I mean, a lot of times this fat switch gets activated because we're starving on a nutritional level. So you could be watching what you eat or eating to your heart's content, one or the other, but if you're not getting the specific nutrients your body needs, that's going to cause like a famine-type stress, a nutritional famine that also activates the fat program. So I talk about, rather than dieting, adding the foods that your body's starving for. It's very counterintuitive or counter to mainstream, quote, wisdom about dieting.
How did you develop your program, the Gabriel Method?
Well, as I said, I decided I was never going to diet again, and I decided to spend pretty much all my time. And I talk about in the story how, in the book, how I was supposed to fly out on September 11th, and I was almost on one of the flights, the United Airlines 93 flight.
Oh, the one out of Newark.
Exactly.
That crashed in Pennsylvania.
I was supposed to fly to San Francisco, and it was a fluke of fate that I was not on that United Airlines flight, because I always take that United Airlines flight to San Francisco. It's a nonstop flight out of Newark. I don't want to go through LaGuardia or JFK because that's an hour of driving. But my business partner booked me on a flight from LaGuardia that connected out of Cincinnati, and it saved $150. And I was really—I remember I being really upset at him at the time because I didn't want to go to LaGuardia. I didn't want to spend $300 more on parking. I didn't want to spend 2 hours in Cincinnati. But he ended up saving my life, and that really had kind of a profound impact on me because I was sort of living—you know—I was living a life that I really was kind of hating, like so many of us do all the time, where we're just, you know, we're working at a job that maybe we're good at, but it's not, our heart's not really into it.
Were you self-destructive?
I was extremely self-destructive, actually. But I think more than anything, George, you know, I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
You know how that feeling when you're like on a treadmill that's going faster than you can go, but you have to stay on it? You know, and so I just felt really exhausted and wiped out, and I'd spend all my time watching TV, and I just sort of, at a certain point around 2001, I'd really thrown in the towel, I think. But after September 11th, I decided that I was really going to start living the life of my dreams, and it was always my fantasy to move to this beautiful paradise kind of spot in Western Australia that's very simple, low-stress life. And I did that.
You're not underwater, though, are you?
No. I'm 2,000 miles away. It couldn't be warmer and drier.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really beautiful where I am. So we're good here.
Good.
But I basically spent hours a day studying biochemistry and studying everything I could about the fat programs. And what I discovered is really a really strong link between stress, That is a mental stress and the type of mental stress that I was going through, and obesity. And what that link is simply is that when you're in mental stress, it causes, sometimes causes the exact same chemistry as a famine. In other words, if you were in a famine, certain things would happen. Your triglycerides would go up. Your cortisol levels would go up. These different things that would happen in your body would signal to your brain you're in a famine, and your fat switch would get activated. Well, guess what? Sometimes when you're in stress, the daily stress of making ends meet or working hard, your cortisol levels go up, your triglycerides go up, a couple other things, you become insulin resistant, a couple other things happen that are the exact same chemistry as a famine, and your brain actually gets tricked into activating this fat switch. So it's almost like your brain's tricked into thinking that you're starving, but you're living in a land of all you can eat, empty calorie, excess food. So that's a recipe for disaster, and that was my disaster and my undoing, and it was really about not being able to manage or handle the stresses in my life. So one of the things I did is I studied stress management. I studied meditation and Tai Chi and all the different things that can happen, the chemical changes that can happen in your body during stress. I put together the visualization CD that goes with the book that helps you really reduce stress and get your mind and body to work together. And after that, it was like you said, like your experience, it was very automatic. I wasn't really dieting. I wasn't eating foolishly, the same as what you were saying, and I was nourishing my body, but the weight was coming off. I just wasn't as hungry. And what I discovered is that when the fat switch gets turned off, you're simply not as hungry, and your metabolism does speed up.
That's right. And your attitude changes.
Everything changes. You just have more energy. You have more enthusiasm. You're not in a famine state. You're not in a survival state. You just have more joy.
Did you feel as if after the Flight 93 happened and you weren't on it, did you feel as if you had a purpose, a new purpose?
I really did, actually. I knew that the first thing I knew was that I was going to lose the weight. I don't know how I knew it, but I just knew I was going to do it. I knew I was going to lose all the weight. From that instant, I knew I was going to lose all the weight, and I knew I was going to spread my message to the world that weight loss is, and obesity is not about being weak and lazy, and it's not about dieting. It's about really understanding why your body wants to be fat and eliminating those reasons. And it's a very contrarian type of approach and attitude than the rest of the world has, where, you know, you see the Biggest Loser and everything, and it's just about gutting it out. But I lived through that, and I have lived on both sides of the spectrum. Before I moved to New York, I was one of those naturally thin people. I never had to worry about it. Then I moved to New York. I'm killing myself, working like a maniac, and I'm trying to lose weight, but I keep gaining. No matter what I do, I'm gaining and gaining and gaining. And until you've lived through that, of being in a body that just is forcing you to gain weight, you can't imagine what it's like. And it's not at all what people think, that it's just that you're just weak and lazy.
Well, and let me ask you this. I mean, you got up to around 409 pounds.
Yeah,
how did people react to you at that point? I mean, did they snicker? Did you know that? I mean, did they make fun of you? Were they polite to you? What were they like?
For the most part, and this is just the most part, I became invisible.
Really?
It's like, yeah, for the most part. I mean, kids would look at me. I did have this one thing where this kid was teasing me. He was making like a pig noises. I couldn't believe he was snorting. I'm in a real estate agent's office. He's going,
oh, jeez. Unbelievable.
I have had little things like that. But for the most part, I really became invisible. Like, people wouldn't notice me. I'd be at a checkout, and I'd say hi to the clerk. They wouldn't look at me. It just was weird. It's just like...
Well, like they were afraid to look at you?
Maybe.
Or?
You know, you just sort of become invisible is what happens. And I remember Gwyneth Paltrow. She was in a movie.
Oh, the Shallow Hell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they interviewed... And so she had to walk around in her heavy costume for a while to get used to it. And the first thing she said was that she became invisible. And she's not used to that, being Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's right.
And everybody's going to look at her. But you do. You just become like, people don't want to interact. They're not as a pro. You're just not interacting with people anymore.
At what point, at what weight level, did you know, I've got this licked and I can't be stopped?
Yeah. Good question. I would say after I lost 100 pounds. Because I lost 100 pounds automatically, and I knew that what I was doing I could do for the rest of my life, and I knew it was going to happen. And people said, you look great and all this stuff, but I knew it. At that point, I knew it was really all going to happen.
Good for you. Well, you know, you've done something that not a lot of people can do, not only by the amount of weight that you dropped, but how you did it. For example, I mean, you were huge and, you know, you're taut now and tight.
Where's
that loose skin? What happened to it?
Well, you know, it's a very different way of losing weight. You see, when you try to lose weight through crash dieting or surgery, it places an enormous stress on your body, and that stress elevates your cortisol levels. Cortisol causes your skin to lose its elasticity. And that's why you get that tremendous loose skin, because not because your skin can't get tighter, it's just losing, it's lost that elasticity. I lost the weight in a completely opposite way, a very low-stress way, a high-vitality way. My body was getting healthier and healthier. My bones, my organs, everything was getting stronger. And so my skin just became really tight and firm. And it's the first time, I mean, if you look at the pictures, before I published the book, I had to go to a doctor for the publisher. They made me go to a doctor to certify that I hadn't had surgery.
Right.
For skin.
Oh, I know. When you look at the differences between picture number one and four, you look and say, how did this guy do this?
Yeah. Well, it happened. But the thing now that it's 2 years down the road, is it's not just me now. I mean, I've got people that have lost 150, 200 pounds.
Good for you.
Over the last 2 years, I had one lady in Alabama call me, an older lady. She lost 150 pounds, you know, just over a year. And she's like an elderly woman.
Were you winded at all when you were really heavy? I mean, how far could you walk before you had to stop and breathe?
Yeah, well, I sounded like, if I was talking to you on the phone, actually, I would sound like Darth Vader. You know, I had this kind of, hello.
Yeah.
And I had this really bad case of sleep apnea, which, by the way, if you have sleep apnea, you've got to get that taken care of, because that also activates the fat switch. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So I had this really bad case of sleep apnea, which just makes you tired and winded all the time.
Was that because of the weight?
It is because of the weight. Once you gain a certain amount of weight, the weight of your neck cuts off your windpipe when you're sleeping, so you're never getting into a deep sleep. It's lowering your oxygen levels. It's making you tired and hungry. It's elevating your cortisol levels, activating the fat programs. So it's a vicious cycle, because you gain enough weight to get the sleep apnea, and then your body even wants to be fatter. The fat switch gets activated even more because of the sleep apnea.
I assume, John, that one of the first steps is to take care of the mental causes of why you're heavy.
Yeah, for 80% of the people. It depends. Some people, like, you know, when we talk about sleep apnea, I had this one guy call me from Melbourne, and he's talking about what he eats, and I could tell by his breathing he had that same Darth Vader thing. He's going, I eat 300 calories a day. He's doing this thing. And I said to him, I don't want to talk about what you're eating. Get your sleep apnea taken care of, then we can talk. He got his sleep apnea taken care of. He lost 88 pounds in 4 months doing nothing else.
Being able to sleep again.
Yeah, which caused different chemistries. By lowered his cortisol levels, has made his body more sensitive to the hormone insulin, and that made his body able to burn fat better. So that was his issue. But for 80% of the people out there, it's mental and emotional stress. You've got to take care of that. And if you don't take care of it, it's like driving with the emergency brake on. You're causing real chemistry. The stress in your life is causing real chemistry in your body that's activating survival programs inside of us. It's causing us to hold on to weight.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You have to take care of stress.
Your living environment is part of that, I assume, isn't it?
Yeah, I live in a beautiful place. I really do. And I've developed a lifestyle that caters toward being low stress. But at this point, I could kind of be low stress anywhere. Because, I mean, there's times when I travel, like I'm traveling to the States next week, and I might be on 6 or 7 planes in 8 days and do like 30 interviews.
That's intense.
Yeah, and I'm still feeling no stress I'm still feeling a low stress, because I have my visualizations I do in the morning, I have my meditations. It's just become there's certain routines and habits that I put in place so that stress kind of slides off me at the end of the day, or I get rid of it in the beginning of the day. It doesn't accumulate.
Hey, we're going to take this quick break. All right, we're going to take this break. We'll come right back and take some phone calls and continue talking with John Gabriel, the Gabriel Method. I mean, you should see these pictures. Amazing. We'll be back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, dual program, Glynis McCants joins us for a couple hours, the numbers lady, to talk about her prophecies and predictions for the rest of the year and beyond. And then John Hogue, he talks about Nostradamus and his own predictions as well on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back, we'll take some phone calls with John Gabriel, author of The Gabriel Method, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we'll take your phone calls in just a moment with John Gabriel. John, what would you say to people who say they can't lose the weight?
I'd say that you're doing it the wrong way. Okay, every time you apply, every single diet operates on a faulty premise. And the premise is that you can somehow force yourself to lose weight through willpower, discipline, effort, cutting out calories. But every time you do that, you activate the fat switch in your body that gets your body to want to be fat, and then you go at war with your body. And you can fight your body for a little while, but the problem is your body can fight back 24/7. You can control what you put in your mouth in the short term, but you can't control how hungry you are.
Now, and when you said you're traveling, so you're going through a lot of stress doing that, but you're handling it perfectly.
Yeah.
What's happening with the Gabriel method? The world is beginning to take notice, aren't
they? It's actually unreal what's happening. The book's been translated into 15 languages, and there's Gabriel method centers being set up in Holland, in France,
wow.
All over South America now, and Spain. El Metado Gabriel, we're getting 100,000 hits a day to our website in El Metado Gabriel in Spain. It's pretty much unreal the way the world's taking to it. A lot of it's word of mouth, and a lot of it is just from people that have lost weight now for the first time without dieting by following the right principles, by going in the right direction, by turning off the fat switch rather than activating it.
Have you ever had someone come up to you after they've tried this program and cry because you saved their life?
Yeah, actually, I have, especially at seminars. I had one lady who said the doctors gave her 3 months to live, and now she's, you know, they can't believe how healthy she is and what's happened to her. So that has happened, and it's quite an amazing feeling. As a matter of fact, the first person that ever read the book, a lady who saw me on television here in Australia years ago, I hadn't even finished writing the book. She asked me to send her, I sent her a copy of it. She called me back 6 months later. She said she was 70 years old. She had, from reading the book, she tried everything to lose weight. From reading the book, she lost 120 pounds, and she had very severe type 2 diabetes, life-threatening type 2 diabetes, and it's all been normalized now. Her blood sugar is totally fine, and her doctor took her off medication. And I thought to myself, well, if nothing else happens, I feel like everything that happened to me, all my struggles, they weren't in vain. You know,
yeah. So you help one person, it's worth it, isn't it?
Exactly, you know.
Let's take some calls here. Ellen in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Ellen. You're on with John Gabriel.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just love hearing everything you're saying. It seems like it's directed to me. Doctor says lose 30 pounds or you will have full-blown diabetes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When one is in a situation in your 70s where you can't move off or really change, what do you suggest? Are there centers in the United States? Read your book?
Definitely do two things. Read the book and listen to the evening visualization CD. You can download the evening visualization CD for free by going to GabrielMethod.com. Put in the password. There's a secret password, HEART, H-E-A-R-T. I'm going to give it to your listeners. Put in the password HEART, H-E-A-R-T. You can download the evening visualization CD. Now, what people don't realize is 80% of type 2 diabetes is caused by stress. Because really what type 2 diabetes is, this is a very severe case of something called insulin resistance, which means your body's not listening to insulin. That is caused by stress. It also causes you to gain weight. And so the reason why so many people have had their type 2 diabetes reversed by following the Gabriel method is it makes your body more sensitive to insulin by lowering stress and by adding foods that make your body more sensitive to insulin. Your insulin levels lower, you become more efficient at burning fat, your blood sugar normalizes, and type 2 diabetes goes away. I didn't even know that type 2 diabetes would go away when I wrote the book, but I would say, aside from losing weight, the single most common comment I get from people is they were borderline type 2 diabetic or they were on medication and they're not anymore. So definitely listen to the CD, read the book, and follow some of the principles.
John, what's your definition of stress? What is all of that?
In terms of mental and emotional stress?
Yeah, is it work environment? Is it within you? Is it
stress? If you want to have a universal definition of stress. Stress is an alarm to your body telling your body that in some way you are not safe.
Yeah.
Now, it could be if you're, for example, a physical one is if you're sick. That's a stress that's telling you you're not safe. If you're if you're being chased by a tiger, that's a stress that's telling your body you're not safe. If you're starving to death, that is also one. But if you're worried about making ends meet, you are feeling in some way, for example, that you're not safe. If your husband is yelling at you, you are feeling that you are not safe. And it's causing chemistry, and the chemical signal is, help, we are not safe, do something. And your body is programmed to do something. And for some of us, the program response is to gain weight, because the stress is so similar chemically to a famine that the stress response is to gain weight and protect you from the famine, even though it's not a famine.
And if you're in stress for like years, it's bound to have an effect on you, isn't it?
It has so many effects: type 2 diabetes, heart disease, depression, bipolar disease, inflammation, digestive problems, colon problems, cancers. All of these things are caused by a chronic state of feeling that you're not safe, and that you're in constant state of fear. And that's why learning stress reduction techniques and learning to develop an attitude and belief system that fosters a feeling of safety.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Mike's with us. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, George. Boy, it's great to be able to get on.
Good.
John, can you tell me the very specific foods that you would eat or are eating now to maintain your weight? Very specific for like a week and then a month.
Okay. I the first thing I want to say is I don't have to maintaining my weight's not an issue, because maintaining to me implies that if I ate really, really what I wanted, I'd gain weight. And that's not the case. I always eat what I want, and I have now for 7 years. But I always add three specific types of foods to my diet. At this point, I crave them. They nourish you. They're foods that have omega-3 fatty acids in them.
That's like salmon, right?
Salmon, other cold water fishes, ground flax seeds, chia seeds, certain other nuts if they're not cooked, if they're raw, they have omega-3 fatty acids in them. Your body needs omega-3 fatty acids. We're chronically starved of them. I get them in most every meal. Usually I just sprinkle ground linseeds on my food, ground flax seeds rather, on my food, or use flaxseed oil as a dressing. Also live food, that is food that's not man-made, because we never were able to improve the quality of food, especially as far as our body's ability to digest and assimilate the nutrients. So food that's live and untampered with, lettuce, salads, fruits, vegetables, uncooked, add that. Don't become a raw food vegan. Add it to your diet. Add it every day in every meal. And food that has protein. So if you combine those three things, omega-3 fatty acids, live food, and protein, and you add it, keep the focus on adding. On every meal, what will happen is you'll be more nourished, your system will function better, and hormonally, the signals that are causing stress that are activating the fat programs won't be activating those programs anymore.
And when you say, though, you eat what you want, you're not foolish about it. I mean, you don't go crazy. You're not eating cakes.
I'm not foolish about it, but I don't need to be foolish either. In other words, I don't crave cake anymore. In other words, my body really just wants to be healthy at this point. And because my body is so efficient at managing blood sugar, because hormonally it's functioning so well, I don't crave sugar. A lot of times we crave sugar because we lose the ability to manage our blood sugar properly, so we get these low blood sugar episodes. Like, you know how you crave sweets 2 hours after you eat sometimes?
Sometimes,
it's because it's very common, and I used to have it all the time. It's because our body's not managing its blood sugar properly. It's because of this thing I was talking about, insulin resistance. But when your body manages its blood sugar very efficiently by adding these foods and reducing stress, you don't crave sweets anymore, because your body knows how to energize itself by burning fat, by burning stored energy. It can access that energy, and you're not craving the sweets anymore. We crave sweets because we don't know how to access our own energy. Our energy is locked up in our fat cells, and we've lost the ability to burn the fat. And that's the thing about a diet. Everybody assumes that we're calories in, calories out. Nobody's even asking the question, do I even have the ability to burn fat anymore? And when your fat programs are on, you lose the ability to burn fats. And you also lose the ability to manage your blood sugar. So you're tired all the time and you crave sweets all the time because you can't raise your blood sugar on your own. So when all that goes away, you just don't crave those foods that you used to crave anymore. And it used to be I craved them all the time and I just don't anymore.
That's right. I bet you used to eat a lot of white bread in those days.
Yeah, bread and sugar and pizza.
All that stuff. Everything that's bad for us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Next.
But there's chemical reasons for it. I was not able to manage my blood sugar. So 2 hours after a meal, my blood sugar would go down. I'd have to eat something. Whereas now, 2 hours after a meal, my blood sugar can be raised by my body being very efficient at burning fat.
What do you think of these power bars? Are they okay?
Yeah, well, it depends on what's in them. If there's a lot of artificial ingredients, none. Some of them, frankly, taste like if you were to sweep like the floor of a chemical laboratory, put some chewing gum, mix some chewing gum with it, take that dust and mix some chewing gum, and then put some artificially flavored chocolate on the outside.
That's it, right? Cardboard.
That's what I think of them, okay, if you're the truth.
Edmonton, Canada, first-time caller. Hey, Jan, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have to tell you that I believe what this guy is saying. But I just got out of the hospital last Friday, and I had went in with legs that were 2.5 times their size because I was retaining fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you that I have had surgery 6 times. How do you get rid of the stress? The stress of the surgery is not bothering me. It's what's around me and what I'm not achieving for myself.
Yeah. Well,
in order to get the weight down, you know?
Yeah, well, you're asking a question that applies to all of us, really, and that is how do you manage the stresses in your life, whatever they are, whether it's being in a hospital or working hard or not being able to make ends meet or having some sort of physical ailment, how do you manage the stress? And that is really the real question that you're asking, Jan, is how do you feel safe? How can you feel safe in a world where we're being bombarded with fear and terror and scare and aches and pains and nutritionally barren food and toxins? Mm-hmm. How can you feel safe? And learning how to do that, and I really talk about that a lot in my book, and especially my visualization CD, developing a positive belief system and a daily practice that allows you to feel connected and feel safe is a one-stop shopping, really, for dealing with that issue.
And you just have to work at it, don't you?
Well, it gets easier and easier over time. If you develop a habit of, for example, meditating every morning and practicing some positive visualizations, your mind gets stronger and stronger. You feel kind of an intangible feeling of safety that like you're like connected to a source of energy that we're normally cut off from. And we're looking for that energy from other people, from other events, from things that from peak experiences. But there's an enormous reservoir of energy inside us that we're not connected to. And when you meditate and when you do visualizations, such as the ones that I talk about in my book and my visualization CD, you feel connected to your own personal source of energy. And that it gives you a feeling of safety. It gives you a feeling like you're being protected and there's a part of you that's out there that's really looking out for you.
Is working out a stress reliever?
Actually, working out, if it's done right, can be. I don't recommend, or if you work out too much, it actually causes the same stress as a famine. It's a chronic stress. But if you work out for maybe 10 or 20 minutes, 3 times a week, very intensely, just really 10 minutes intensely, that intense stress is really good at getting your body to want to be thin. It activates a different survival program I call the get thin or get eaten adaptation. It's the same as like if you were running away from a tiger. What would happen is your body would say, yeah, that's a stress, and your body would say, we need to be as thin as possible and as fast as possible so we can escape being attacked. If you do exercise right by having intensity, just a couple of seconds every once in a while, that intensity will get your body to activate that primal survival instinct and get you to want to be thinner.
Let's go to Toronto, Canada. International line, Sergey is on there. Hey, Sergey.
Hello, George and John. It's an honor speaking to you.
Thank you.
I've never had weight issues, but I read your book, and I found it so inspirational, actually. And I have to thank you on behalf of so many people you helped and touched.
Thank you.
I personally never had a really weight issue, but I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
Your method is so different from anything else. You don't sell anything, and you can see it by reading your book, by speaking to you, how genuine you are. So how hard has it been for you to withstand the pressure of you know, what must have been the pressure from diet industry. You're not selling any low carb or low this, low that. You're not shaming people. You're not letting them to indulge. That's what the diet industry does.
No,
that's how
no.
people make money.
You know, I,
how
I
do you manage to get to survive in this environment? Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your words. They mean a lot to me, and thank you. And I try to provide as much support for people as possible, because it's really about information. And I think we've got like 80 or 90 YouTube videos up there, and just provide as much support so people can empower themselves and make good food choices, make good energetic choices, lower stress themselves. That whole concept of shaming people, you know, and a lot of times, like when you look at shows like The Biggest Loser, it's all about humiliation, and it has this flawed premise that you can lose weight by just killing yourself and fighting your body, and that's not the way. You have to learn how your body functions, and that's really what I'm about, is educating people on how your body really works, and then working with your body.
How long are your conferences, John, in your speaking engagements when you go up?
I do one-day seminars. I've done pretty much all over Australia and New Zealand. We're just now doing a three-day seminar in Kiama, New South Wales. And then after that, we're going to do a one-week seminar in Thailand. So they're getting longer and longer. We're doing more and more daily practices of visualization, learning stress reduction techniques, healthy cooking classes, you know, things like that. We're doing more and more of that type of stuff. And we'll start doing seminars in the States very shortly, too.
Well, the diet-free method is called the Gabriel Method, after John Gabriel, who was around 409 pounds. And you went down to what, about 180 plus?
Yeah, I'm 180 something.
Good for
you.
I'll
tell you the truth, I haven't weighed myself in 5 years, if you want to shoot. But I wear the same clothes.
Do you go by the mirror?
Yeah, and yeah. My clothes are the same, and you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing worse than getting in the clothes and it's getting tight. I hate
that. No, it is. And the best thing in the world is to just eliminate, is to have the whole issue go away forever. You know, once you really understand how your body functions, how to nourish it properly, how to live a low stress life, how to turn off the fat programs, you just really, the idea is to make the whole issue go away forever.
All right, my friend. John, keep in touch with us. Good luck in everything you do. John Gabriel, The Gabriel Method. His website, of course, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. On our next program, Glynis McCants, the numbers lady, and then John Hogue talking about his prophecies and Nostradamus. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.